as a church are pretty good at talking to people about being born again, but then what do you do after you get born? You got to grow. And so we've been working on this process of beginning to grow up in our faith, to grow up in God. And so I asked you earlier about your hometown. Any memories come to mind when you were talking about your hometown? Anybody like to share? Wendy? Summer days swimming at the park. That's a hometown memory. Anybody else? Yeah. Sure. Okay. Kids just running around together with no supervision or limited supervision. Let's go there. There's kids in the room. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so there was supervision from older children to the younger. Okay. Who else? Yeah. Kick the can in the summer evening. All right. Give me another one. Anybody else? Salmon fishing. Camping in the backyard. Going way out in the wilderness. Right? Being able to ride your bike anywhere. Hometown memories, yeah.
Selling lemonade to people walking to the pool.
Selling lemonade to people walking to the swimming pool. Very cool. Are there others? Those are the kind of things that kind of come to mind when we think of our hometown. One of the things that come to my mind when I hear hometown, and if I were in my hometown in New Jersey, and they saw those two things on the slide growing up in my hometown, they would know it's Bruce Springsteen Sunday. Both of those are titles of Bruce Springsteen songs, growing up in my hometown. I want to share with you a little bit of that one song, My Hometown by Bruce Springsteen. He writes this. Tell me if this brings those warm memories to your mind. I was 8 years old and running with a dime in my hand into the bus stop to pick up a paper for my old man. I'd sit on his lap in that big old Buick and steer as we drove through town. He'd tussle my hair and say, son, take a good look around. This is your hometown. Does anybody remember steering the car? Yeah, sitting on dad's lap and steering the car when you were like, yeah, way too young? Yeah. Pre-seatbelt laws, you know, we all just kind of were able to do those things. I have a very vivid memory of kneeling on my seat, on the passenger side, front seat, kneeling in the front seat so that I could see the Christmas lights my hometown used to put, you know, in Main Street, the lights that went across, you know, sometime in mid-December before we started celebrating Christmas in October, you know. In mid-December, the lights would go up, and I was on my knees watching them go by so that I could see them. The reason why the memory is so vivid is it doesn't end well. Mom had to stop short, and I broke my nose on the dashboard. But and thus the seatbelt laws. But I remember that, you know, very vividly, is those opportunities of just kind of getting that glimpse, that picture of your hometown. Today being Mother's Day, I know a lot of you are probably going to do things like this, where you're just going to reminisce and tell stories. It's fun to tell stories to the kids about stuff they did that they don't remember because they were too little at the time. I like telling my kids the ways I used to fool them into thinking they were getting something they weren't getting, you know, and they think we were really clever, you know, so it's good parenting stuff. Or telling them stories about grandmom and grandpop so that they see them as parents, you know, how they were to us as parents and what we were like as children. And we get opportunities to just kind of share those things. And there's something about that hometown that just lets us know we've got a place. Home is just that sense that there's a place that we have where we're welcome, where we are rooted, where we are grounded. We talked a little bit about that last week with Lost in the Cosmos and how so many people just feel unrooted, ungrounded, and we have opportunity when we know about our home to know that we are rooted and we are grounded. I've often thought, if I could relive one memory as a child, if I could have it happen one more time, you know what it would be? I want to be carried to bed. Remember those times? And then that twilight of somewhere between, you know, I'm not quite asleep and I'm not quite awake. And I remember those days of being driven home from my grandparents' house and a parent reaching in the back seat and carrying me in the house and carrying me to bed. There's no better feeling in all the world. And it's never going to happen again. But it's a wonderful sense of just knowing that you're loved and you're cared for and you're home. In our Bible lesson today, in the book of Ephesians, I want you to hear the word home that just kind of appears in this. It's Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 16 and reading through verse 22. Listen now to the word of our Lord. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. The outsiders would be the non-Jewish Christians, and the insiders would be the Jewish Christians. And Christ preached to both, the Jews and the non-Jews. He treated us as equals, and so he made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. Or if I was writing this, your hometown. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home, and he's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation, and now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Do you catch those two images of home? There's two there. There's one in the very beginning. You have a hometown in the kingdom of faith. There's home. And at the very end, he says, we're being fitted together. And actually, the word used there is literally harmonized. You're being put together in such an intimate way, such an intricate way, to become a home where God is at home. What a great picture of the church. A place where we find a home and a place where we build a home. A place where we find that we belong and a place where we invite others to come alongside of us and belong with us. The question becomes, are we that church? Now, for many of us, the time is coming, and especially when I made that announcement, that Pastor Bob's farewell reception is going to be June 20th, and that's not all that far away. Now, June 27th is Pastor Bob's last Sunday, celebrating with us in the life of the church, the end of his time of leading our congregation, and we are going into the unknown, and we're nervous. And we don't know what to expect, and we don't know what's going to happen. One of the things we can do is just celebrate what Pastor Bob and Carolyn have done among us, the leadership that they have given us. When Pastor Bob came here 11 years ago, there were about 100 people in membership. Today, there's more than 525. When Pastor Bob came to us, we were wandering exiles, much like Paul talks about here. This church met in a gas station and met in another church's building for a while and eventually found somewhat of a home in a cable building downtown. And we had, when I came, my first Sunday school class that I went to with the high school students was in the yoga studio downstairs, downtown. And we found ourselves wandering all over a monument. And then we found a home. We came home to this place. And it was under Bob and Carolyn's leadership that we were able to find this land and build this place. And the time is coming when that chapter is closing and a new one is going to open. And hear what Paul says to us. Now he's using you, Paul writes, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. You know, in some ways, the church is just an ordinary place. And we talked about this with the confirmation class this weekend. They had their retreat on Friday night. And we talked about how this building's just a building. And we talked about how the church is just, you know, it's just one more thing that we do. And then we talked about, you know what, but it's not just ordinary. It's extraordinary. Because God is moving in us and among us. He's brought us together. He's fitting us together, making us the people that he wants us to be. So I want to go back to Bruce. Can I go back to Bruce? My hometown. Verse 2, and don't look at that yet. I'm not there. Don't look. Close your eyes. Verse 2, which I'm not going to show you, is it's now 1965, and I believe the narrator of the song is in high school. And trouble starts to brew up in the hometown. And the last line of verse 2 is simply that, troubled times had come to my hometown. As if there were no troubles before. And as an 8-year-old, there weren't. Everything was great. But now as we begin to grow and we begin to look at our hometown, we begin to see the troubles that are around us. Not everything's as wonderful and beautiful and great as we thought it was. And then we come to the bridge. Now you can bring that up and you can look. And it says this. He says, now Main Street's whitewashed windows and vacant stores. Seems like there ain't nobody wants to come down here no more. They're closing down the textile mill across the railroad tracks. The foreman says, these jobs are going, boys, and they're not coming back to your hometown. And there's a part of me that wonders just how much the hometown has changed or if it's his eyes that have changed. And now he's seeing things a little bit differently, not as the 8-year-old, but as an adult. And then I love verse 4. This is how the song concludes. It says this, last night me and Kate, we laid in bed talking about getting out, packing up our bags and maybe heading south. Everybody from New Jersey goes south. I'm 35. We got a boy now of our own. Last night I sat him up behind the wheel and I said, son, take a look around. This is your hometown. And how do you think the 8-year-old saw it? Wonderful place that I will always remember. This is our home, our hometown. Sometimes we find that there's difficulty and struggle, but you know what? This is the place that we claim and call our own. Eugene Peterson, in that book, Practice Resurrection, that's serving as our guide for this series, talks about a woman named Judith. Judith is an artist who came to Christ in Eugene Peterson's church when she was about 40. And Eugene Peterson talks about how much he just loved talking to her. Because he says everything was new to her. You know, she was excited about church because church was new. She was excited about prayer because prayer was new. She was excited about the Bible because the Bible was new to her. There was all of these things to be excited about. If you've ever been around that person, who's been a Christian for a long time, man, it's fun. And he was caught her enthusiasm. When it came time for him to leave that church and go to another, he kept in touch with Judith by letter writing. And in one of the letters, she describes how much trouble she was having explaining her faith to her fellow artists. She was well known as a textile artist and was a part of the art community, and the people in the art community weren't accepting her very well. And she wrote in her letter, she wrote this, a longtime secular friend and a superb artist just the other day was appalled. What is this I hear about you going to church? Another friend found out that I was going on a 3-week mission trip to Haiti and was incredulous. You, Judith, you're going with a church group? What has gotten into you? My friends would have accepted me far more readily if they found out that I was in some bizarre cult involving exotic and strange activities like black magic or experiments with levitation. I get that. They want fun and exciting from an artist. She says, but going to church is branded with terrible ordinariness. We're pretty ordinary folk. But she doesn't end it there. Her next words are these. But that's what endures it to me. Both the church and the 12-step programs. This facade of ordinariness. When you pull back the veil of ordinariness, you find the most extraordinary life behind it. I love that phrase. The veil of ordinariness or the facade of ordinariness. Usually a facade is what we do to pretty things up when it's ordinary. She says in the church it's the opposite. There's extraordinary going on, but from the surface, man, it just looks kind of ordinary. Bunch of people getting together, singing songs, and, you know, listening to some guy talk for far too long. Giving up some of your money. That's ordinary. Why in the world would you do that? And yet she says, when you pull back the veil of ordinariness, there's something extraordinary here beneath the surface. From the outside, it's hard to see. But when I'm here, man, we know something else is going on. Eugene Peterson talks about a poem. He's got a friend named Robert Siegel who is a poet. And when he was exploring this kind of thought, Robert Siegel brought a poem. There's a group of guys that get together. They're in a writing group. And they share stuff that they haven't finished yet. You know, it's always good to have a safe group to kind of bounce ideas off of. And so they were bouncing ideas. And Robert Siegel, the poet, brought a poem. But before he read the poem, he told him a story. He said that he and his wife had often drove through this intersection through their hometown in New England. And there at the corner was a sign that said, Mount Monadnock, that way or that way. But they were never going that way, you know. So they saw the sign and always kept going straight. But one day, they felt incredibly adventurous, and they came up to that intersection, and they said, you know, we've been living here so long, let's go find it. And so they turned, and he wrote a poem called Looking for Mount Monadnock. And I hope I'm saying that right. If somebody from New England can correct me later, that's fine. He says this, we see the sign Monadnock State Park as it flashes by. After a mile or two, decide to go back. We can't pass by Monadnock without seeing it, I say, turning around. We head down the side road. Monadnock Realty, Monadnock Pottery, Monadnock Designs, but no Monadnock. Then the signs fall away. Nothing but trees and darkening afternoon. We don't speak, pass a clearing, and you say, I think I saw it, or part of it, a bald rock. Miles and miles more, and finally I pull over and we consult a map. Monadnock's right there, or just back a bit there. But we should see it. We're practically on top of it. And driving back, we look. Trees, a flash of clearing, purple rock. But we are, it seems, too close to see it. It is here. We are on it. It is under us. Had that experience? In a lot of ways, that's our experience of God. We go looking for God. And we look for the mountain. We look for the big, extraordinary thing. And the Bible says, it's in him we live and move and have our being. He's here. He's around us, under us. We move in him. The extraordinary, right behind the veil of ordinariness. The extraordinary God, right there, when you take the time to find him. Rob Bell, one of my favorite authors, in a book called Velvet Elvis, and I have to explain that title to you some other time, but in a book called Velvet Elvis, uses the image of a tour guide. He says this, tour guides are people who see the depth and texture and connection where others don't. Excuse me, the microphone. That is why the best teachers and masters are masters of the obvious. They see the same things that we do, but they're aware of so much more. When they point it out, it changes the way we see everything. That's what Judith was doing. That's what Paul is doing in the book of Ephesians, pointing out to us that in all this ordinariness, there's something extraordinary going on just beneath the surface. Right here in our hometown. Right here in this place where we've been welcomed, our church family, the kingdom of faith. Right here. Where we're being fitted together, not just for ourselves, but to be a home in which God is pleased to dwell. May we today, tomorrow, and far into the future be that church. Yeah, we look pretty ordinary, but there's something extraordinary going on in this place. Paul says it this way, you're no longer exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this place that we get to call home. This place where we're accepted and loved. This place where we experience your presence. God, help us, not just in this hour, but as we go out, to see you at work, even in the very ordinary. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.